Hi everyone, welcome to the Mammalogy Podcast. My name is Kellen, and I'm going to be discussing a very interesting mammal today, the muskox. I would just like to go over some general information about the muskox before we dive into some of the really cool stuff about this mammal. So the muskox, scientific name Ovibos moschatus, are a very large-sized animal from the order Artiodactyla and the family Bovidae. They are native to the Arctic regions of the world and are primarily found in Alaska, Canada, Greenland, and Russia. Muskox are very large in size, with adults weighing anywhere from 400 to 900 pounds, and they're about 5 feet high at the shoulder, making them among the largest mammals on the tundra. They're also a herding animal that exists in small to medium-sized groups across all their habitat, which also includes lowland tundra. Now, with all the general information about the muskox mentioned, we can begin to talk about some of the really cool features of this animal. We will begin with cold weather adaptations, then with their feeding behavior, then breeding behavior, and then finally dive into their conservation history and future. So beginning with cold weather adaptations, the muskox have several adaptations to deal with cold weather, given where they live in the Arctic tundra. These animals have very long, thick fur, which helps them to insulate them from the cold environment. These animals are also very large in size, as I mentioned earlier, and this allows them to have a very small surface area to volume ratio. This means that there is more volume in the animal that is retaining heat and less surface area being exposed to the outside to lose that heat. An interesting adaptation that the muskox have that is slightly different construction in their hemoglobin, with a varied affinity to oxygen, which could allow them to have functioning hemoglobin cells at lower temperatures compared to other mammals. Along with those other adaptations, muskox store massive amounts of fat reserves that insulate their body. Many animals store fats to keep warm in cold environments, and the muskox is no exception to that. These animals must gain and maintain fat reserves to keep their internal body temperature at an optimal measure. So with that, we can discuss feeding behaviors of the muskox and how they build up those fat stores. Muskox must get fat stores from eating food, and with the unpredictable and extremely cold environment, the feeding selection for a muskox can be very limited. Being herbivores, muskox primarily feeds itself with mosses, lichens, and willows. Muskox are also grazing herbivores, which means that they continuously feed while walking around the tundra, spending little energy to acquire their food. Spending less energy to acquire your food aids in the quick accumulation of food and allows you to store fats. Maintaining fat reserves to stay warm, along with just being able to survive off them while food sources become scarce or covered in snow, is crucial for the muskox to survive and proliferate. For the muskox to proliferate across the tundra, muskox must breed, and being a herding animal existing in small herds, finding mates is never really a big issue. Muskox breeding is not remarkably special or unique compared to other mammals. However, there is an interesting study that was conducted by Shipka and Sousa in 2003 that I would like to highlight. It found that muskox females do not enter their estrus cycle unless they have close physical contact with male muskox, and in the absence of male breeding cues, the females will not begin this estrus cycle. When physically kept away from each other, the muskox would not become reproductively active, and even sounds from such as roaring from males across in the other pens was not enough to make the female muskox reproductively active, so they must be within physical contact to become reproductively active. This is an interesting adaptation that I believe stems from the requirements to sustain life on the tundra, where you have very little energy to put into things, and you only can put energy and effort into breeding if there is a guarantee of reproductive success. So moving on to their conservation history and future. So it is believed that the muskox have a long evolutionary history, since they are found all over the Arctic, on two continents, and Greenland. It is assumed that the muskox were around while the land bridge that was connecting Russia and Alaska was around, and that is how they were able to disperse through time. Since human settlement and exploration in the Arctic, muskox have often been exploited and eventually extirpated out of some areas. Settlements in Alaska in particular began to overhunt the muskox and deplete the resource until it was unsustainable and eventually non-existent. Then, in 1930, the United States set aside some funding to reintroduce the muskox into Alaska. The initial plan for the reintroduction was to domesticate herds of muskox and use them for profit. This would eventually turn into a reintroduction effort where they would reintroduce a herd into the wild. This conservation effort began with capturing 30 muskox from Greenland and shipping them across the Atlantic into New York, and then eventually shipped these muskox off to Alaska to be kept in captivity. The restoration effort has resulted in small herds of wild muskox that have colonized some of their historic range across the state. Today, the muskox face a similar issue that many other mammals are facing, and that is climate change. With the average temperature increasing over time, their habitat is threatened, and at the risk of disappearing. The muskox cannot survive in warmer climates, and as such, their home ranges are growing smaller and smaller until eventually there will be no optimal habitat to move to for these mammals. Currently, though, research is being conducted on how muskox might face these challenges of climate change, and if there is anything that we as humans can do to decrease the severity of habitat loss and keep these animals around longer. Well, anyway, that is it for today. I hope you all enjoyed the podcast. Thank you for listening.